The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
All right. I think I have unique credibility on this because I have been calling for an investigation on Donald Trump, on the White House, for the Russia thing. But I have also been calling for one on Hillary Clinton because, as I have laid out over the months, both sides are involved in this. But I have also been saying there is something wrong at the FBI and the DOJ, and it has nothing to do with Donald Trump. This has started long ago with Uranium One. They were investigating. They stifled witnesses. They did not report to Congress. Something is wrong in the DOJ and in the FBI. I am not somebody who just comes out and excuses Donald Trump for his behavior. I am clear on investigate and turn over every stone. But I will tell you now, this attitude must be taken by the other side on the FBI and the DOJ and the Clinton-Obama administration. Something is very wrong. Shady meetings in high-level offices have gone on. Off-the-books burner phones to hide communications. And whispers of what seems to be a coup. Now, this sounds like it's something that is ripped out of Jack Ryan novels. You expect this to be a movie. This is happening inside the hallowed halls of the FBI. It was reported last week that the former second in command of counterintelligence of the FBI had been relieved from the Mueller investigation due to a series of anti-Trump text messages. At first, to be honest, it seemed kind of worthy of an eye roll. I mean, who hasn't sent an anti-Trump text message in the office? There's probably a ton of people that you call friends that have done that. Even if you're in the president's corner, I know most of us have said, oh, geez, why is he tweeting? And that is exactly what I expected to see. But on Tuesday night, 375 of the 10,000 text messages were released to the press. Many of them, as expected, were just stupid. There's clear disdain for Trump and admiration for Hillary Clinton. But there's a big difference between having a political opinion versus showing bias in an investigation. And that is the vibe that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein was giving to Congress yesterday. And that's primarily how the mainstream media is reporting it. So that's that. Well, no. No, it's not. If you read and scan past the meaningless text, you come across three that are quite disturbing. Here's one. It says, quote, so look, you say we have to text on the phone because when we talk about Hillary, it can't be traced, end quote. That sounds pretty bad. What could they possibly be discussing about Hillary that requires them to hide their personal conversations? Maybe the fact that this FBI agent was the one who doctored Comey's Clinton statement to help her avoid an indictment? I'm guessing here, but let's read on. There is the F. Trump, yada, yada, yada. Congrats on a woman nominated for president. Okay, expected that. But then there's this. Quote, I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there's no way Trump gets elected. But I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40, end quote. What is that? because that sounds an awful lot like the second in command of counterintelligence who was working on both the Clinton investigation and the Trump-Russia investigation, making plans with a colleague to undermine Donald Trump. Oh, yeah, and the office referenced in the text, Andes, was likely Deputy Director Andrew McCabe's. I'm sorry, but this is not a case of little harmless political preference. This is bias with the intent to conspire against a then presidential candidate. How far did this plot go? What were they talking about in Andy's office? What was the, quote, insurance plan? At this point, we need a special counsel. And we don't need a special counsel of Republicans. We don't need a special counsel made up of Democrats. We need a special counsel made up of Americans to investigate the entire government. What the hell is going on?
It's Thursday, December 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Maybe it's because I only make dire predictions that I feel this way, but I hate when my predictions come true. I hate it. There is no credibility left anywhere. I said to you a long, long time ago, you're not going to be able to believe anybody. Everything that you thought you could count on, you can't count on anymore. I want you to listen carefully to me. You will not in the future, and I mean the near future, even be able to believe your eyes or ears. Anyone who dismisses your connection, your spiritual connection to connect to the truth. Anyone who undermines that is doing you a disservice. If you are not exercising your spiritual muscles right now to be able to have discernment, if forget about praying for your country, you need to pray for discernment. Please, Lord, give me the gift of discernment because we are lost. And as you will hear by the end of today's show, you are not going to believe your eyes or your ears in short order. We have changed so much just in the last 2 months. We have gone from a country that understands due process, that we were set apart because of our due process. Nobody could just scoop you up off the streets, throw you in jail. No one could destroy your life without having the ability to defend yourself, to stand against your accuser. We have always had a justice system that portions of the population didn't trust. And quite honestly, my apologies to African Americans for dismissing the justice system and the cries against the justice system for so long. I don't believe in this white privilege bullcrap and apologizing and feeling bad for everything. However, I do believe that we all should take a stand when we discover something that we have not seen before or we didn't believe before. People have been railroaded by this justice system clearly for a long time because I, for one, question whether there is justice in the courts of our country anymore. I question how many people have been put away by false evidence because somebody just wanted either to have a good record, to be able to put them away, to be able to justify their bias. I don't know. But we used to be a country that we used to say, I would rather let people go free. I would rather let a guilty man go free than put a innocent man behind bars. That's why it is hard to find justice. Because we are supposed to err on the side of doubt. Reasonable doubt. We don't anymore. And I'm sorry. We're not throwing people in prison, but we're destroying lives. How is it we're supposed to... How is it we're supposed to judge anything when we can't question the system? We can't question the accuser? I'm kind of conflating two things here because I'm concerned about two different things. So let me be clear. I don't trust the FBI or the justice system anymore. I trust the good people of the FBI. And I think there are good people in the FBI. But I think up at the top, the system is beginning to look to me like it is rotten to the core. And I want you to know, I'm not a, you know this, but for anybody who might be a first time listener, I am not a blind Trump supporter. I believe there is something to be found with Russia. But I believe there's something to be found with Russia and Hillary Clinton and Russia and Obama. And the only reason why I say that is because Obama was silencing somebody who had real information from the FBI and hid it from Congress. Why? Why? I believe we have so politicized ourselves that now the deep state, as we have outlined it on the television show in our chalkboard lessons, which, by the way, you can find the series on deep state and you should watch it. We have a deep state that is not like the Turkish deep state. The Turkish deep state is the one where there's star chambers. The ones where there is a legitimate government that pulls all of the strings and it is coordinated. That's not the kind of deep state we have. We have a deep state of career, quote, servants. These people go on and on and on, and they think they know better than the American people. And an easy example is the State Department. But I believe we have a chance that this is now happening in our FBI again, where they think they know better. We have to trust the American people, but we have to give them all of the information. So the first concern I have is political. I don't trust this anymore. And somebody better stop playing politics and save the republic. And the second is what's happening with our willingness to blindly believe any accusations at the peril, with not even recognizing the danger ahead and the destruction of human beings. You don't get past charges of rape, allegations. If it's rape, then let's have a trial. You don't get past these allegations that are coming out, and some of them are meaningless. But your career is destroyed. You'll never work again. How is that not a prison sentence? You can't work again. There are two stories that have come out overnight along with stories of technology that no one is paying attention to, that I'm going to tie together for you today. 2017 is a pivot point. 2017 is going to be remembered, I believe, as maybe the last year where we recognized our country at all. We're at a threshold, and we are about to enter a brave new world, and we damn well better talk about it before we walk through this door. Continue in a minute. All right, no matter who you're shopping for this holiday season, Sherry's Berries has the perfect gift for everybody on your list. This holiday, you can get fresh and delicious Sherry's Berries dipped in white milk and dark chocolate goodness. I mean, it is so good. Starting at $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Okay, so somebody sent me what I have sent out before. And I got it in my office, and it was a big basket of nuts and, you know, biscotti and all this stuff that I never eat. I never eat. How many baskets do you get from people that you just don't, you either re-gift or you just don't eat and they sit there for a while? I can guarantee you, if you are sending somebody a gift for Christmas, and don't do the little basket of nuts and fancy, don't do it. Send them Sherry's Berries. I promise you, they will love them. They're $19.99. You can double the berries for just $10 more. They also have other really, really good stuff. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't like the fancy stuff. Maybe it's just me. I'm sorry, I don't like it. I don't like, they're biscotti. What? It's crap. Give me something that is just diabolically chocolate. Give me something that's really, really good that I can eat on the couch and my wife can say, you got some on your shirt. That's food that I want in a basket. Gifts arrive packaged at Sherry's Berries signature gift box, so you don't have to wrap it. It's $19.99. Double the berries for $10 more. BERRIES.com. Click on the microphone right-hand corner. Check out the promo code Glenn at checkout. Make sure you put that in there, and you can get this discount. Now, listen to me. Trust me. Whatever you were thinking about sending somebody, send them Sherry's Berries. I promise you, they will love it. Berries, BERRIES.com, promo code Glenn.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
We have published a really important article at glennbeck.com today that I want you to read. A journalist highlights not so obvious threat to the hashtag MeToo movement, and the threat that it poses to women. And I want you to read this. This is a woman who says, look, I am not an apologist. She said, I am convinced that Roy Moore is a sexual predator, but I believe that Bill Clinton is well. And neither my certainty or anyone else's, however, shouldn't be allowed to displace the law. I may be convinced, but I also may be mistaken. These reservations aside, I am grateful at least that we agree that a rapist or a serial groper of random women's genitals should be behind bars. Now, she goes on and she says, this revolution risks going the way revolutions often do. The consequences will not just be awful for men, they will be awful for women. Caught up in the hysteria of taking down any man accused of sexual harassment, she points out that we may be missing the big picture. The reality of our newly formed society may not be enlightened, safe place where that we all have imagined that we could stand. It's possible, she warns, the fight for equality could come full circle and create a divide in the workplace. Given the events of recent weeks, we can be certain of this. From now on, men with any instinct for self-preservation will cease to speak of anything personal, anything sexual in our presence. They will make no body jokes when we are listening. They will adopt in our presence great deference to our exquisite sensitivity and frailty. Many women seem positively joyful at this prospect, but the revolution has at last been achieved. Is this the world we want? Isn't this the world we escaped? Read it now at glennbeck.com. It's a must read.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck program.
Okay, there's a couple of stories that you need to hear today. One, Representative Dan Johnson. He is a state rep out of the state of Kentucky. He was found on a bridge over the Salt River in Greenwell Ford Drive. He was investigated for alleged sexual molestation. He died, they say, of probable suicide. Bullitt County Sheriff Donnie Tennell said Johnson drove to the bridge over the Salt River on Greenfell Road in Mount Washington, parked on the north side of it, and shot himself in front of his car. His body was found on the bank of the river just past the bridge. Just before 5 p.m., Johnson posted the following message on his Facebook page. The accusations from NPR are false. God and only God knows the truth. Nothing is the way they make it out to be. America will not survive this type of judge and jury fake news. Conservatives must take a stand. I love God and I love my wife. She's the best wife in the world. My love forever. My mom and dad, my family, and all of my 5 kids, 9 grandchildren, 2 in tummies, and many more to come. Each of you are a total gift from God. Please stay strong. Rebecca needs you. 9/11/2001, New York City, WTC. PTSD, 24/7. 16 years is a sickness that will take my life. I can't handle it any longer. It has won this life. But heaven is my home. Please listen closely. There are only 3 things I ask you to do if you love me. 1, blame no person. Satan is the accuser, so blame the devil himself. 2, forgive and love everyone, especially yourself. And 3, most importantly, love God. P.S. I love my friends. You are my family. God loves all people, no matter what. The allegation was made from a woman who said it. She was 17 at the time. She was staying in an area of the Heart of Fire City Church where Johnson was a pastor. He had been drinking a lot, she said, approached her, kissed her, and fondled her under her clothes. He said that was absolutely not true. He killed himself. Now this story came out yesterday. PBS will no longer distribute the Tavis Smiley program following what spokesman called multiple credible allegations of sexual misconduct uncovered by a recent investigation into the late night show's host's behavior. News of the suspension of Smiley's show, produced by TS Media, an independent production company, was first reported by Variety. This investigation included interviews with witnesses as well as with Mr. Smiley. That's important. This is from PBS. As well as with Mr. Smiley. The inquiry uncovered multiple credible allegations of contact that is inconsistent with the values and standards of PBS, and the totality of this information led to today's decision.
Never ending, man.
So I want to play just a little bit of Tavis, but I want to read the important parts of this. Here's Tavis came out last night on Facebook. Listen to this.
Hi, I'm Tavis. I was as shocked as you were to hear of PBS's sudden announcement regarding my television program. Let me say at the outset that I have the utmost respect for all women, and I certainly celebrate the courage of those women who've come forth of late to share their own truth. But let me also assure you that I have never groped, inappropriately exposed myself, or coerced any colleague in the workplace ever in my 30-year career.
He says, never, ever, ever. Now listen to this. He says, PBS launched a so-called investigation of me without even informing me. I learned of the investigation when former staffers started contacting me to share the uncomfortable experience of receiving a phone call from a stranger asking whether I had ever done anything to them that made them feel uncomfortable, and if they could provide other names of people to call. Now, what does that sound like, Stu? Does that sound familiar in our history? Can you tell me, have you done this or has this happened to you? And can you provide me some names and numbers?
Have you or are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
And right. We demand that you right. give us names. Mm-hmm. After 14 seasons, that's how I learned of this inquiry, from the street. Only after being threatened with a lawsuit did PBS investigators reluctantly agree to interview me for 3 hours. If having a consensual relationship with a colleague years ago is the stuff that leads to this kind of public humiliation, by the way, that's Bill O'Reilly, and personal destruction, heaven help us. PBS investigators refused to review any of my personal documentation. They refused to provide me the names of any accusers. They refused to speak to my current staff and refused to provide me any semblance of due process to defend myself against allegations from unknown sources. Their mind was made up. Almost immediately following the meeting, this story broke in Variety as an exclusive. Indeed, I learned more about these allegations reading the Variety story than the PBS investigator shared with me, the accused, in our three-hour face-to-face meeting. My attorneys were sent a formal letter invoking contractual provision to not distribute my programming, and that was it. Simply put, PBS overreacted and conducted a biased and sloppy investigation, which led to a rush to judgment, a trampling of my reputation, which I have spent an entire lifetime trying to establish. This has gone too far, and I, for one, intend to fight back. Now, that's what he posted last night. I've met Tavis Smiley once. I have no horse in this game at all. I don't know him to vouch for him. I have friends who would vouch for him. I have plenty of people in the audience who wouldn't like him, I'm sure. But here's what's being said now on Twitter. If PBS has to walk this back, it's going to be problematic because this will be the edge case that everyone will point to. PBS can't walk this back. How about this one? Some innocent men may be caught in a crossfire of undoing the abusive history, but those men will be an extremely small minority, and while unfortunate, it's a price we have to be okay paying it. Thousands of women shouldn't continue to be doubted for the sake of a couple of powerful men. No, that should not be our standard. Our standard should be trying to find the truth, and when there is reasonable doubt, you have to say, there's doubt. How do you feel if it comes to your door and you're wrongly accused? This is wrong. We're destroying lives. And as I will show you next hour, we haven't faced anything. I'm going to show you what's coming, beginning very soon. And it's going to change absolutely everything that you think you know. Doing your holiday shopping from your mobile device? Retailers expect 54% of the holiday shoppers to visit sites from mobile devices. Scammers see this as an opportunity to steal your credit card information, other personal data, and they do it by putting up phony apps. Be really, really cautious. Download the apps, only the reputable apps from the reputable app stores, and read the interviews and the reviews about the complaints. See if there's any complaints on malware. 1 in 4 people have experienced identity theft. If you're only monitoring your credit, your identity is going to be stolen in ways you're not going to detect. Thieves will sell your information on the dark web or get an online payday loan in your name, and then it spirals out of control. And once it's out, it's out. You need a guardian, a sentinel at the gate. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity thefts. And if there is a problem, a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist is going to work to fix it. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. So go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code BACK. That's promo code BACK at 10% off your LifeLock membership. LifeLock.com. Save 10% right now.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So I have to tell you, I'm uncomfortable with this next interview in some ways, and I think you'll understand once you hear what it is. But John McNaughton is an artist. He has been controversial over the last few years, but he paints these amazing paintings that tell stories of, you know, where we are as people. And he ties history and current events together. You'll recognize his paintings the minute you see them. He's just done a painting that OUR did not request. It wasn't a commission, because it's made all of us, we're really flattered, but also really uncomfortable. He's made this painting, and he has made it and donated it to raise funds to help out the stop of slavery around the world. And it is the modern day abolitionist side by side with the original abolitionists in a very powerful painting. And welcome to the program, John McNaughton. How are you, sir?
Hi, Glenn. I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I hope you don't take my I don't know how to even explain my, I guess, my shyness on this as an insult. I'm honored that you would paint this and you would even think about including me in this, but it's really awkward because.
Yes, I know. You know, Tim Ballard told me that you would feel that way.
Yeah.
But he said that 100% you had to be in the painting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you don't have the spotlight on you, but you're in there.
Yeah. So Tony Robbins is in there. Mike Tomlin from the Steelers is there. Montel Williams, Mia Love, Ashton Kutcher is there. Albert Pujols is there. Eric Metaxas. I mean, it's some of the great, really great people of our day.
And Glenn as well. Yeah, right. Glenn as well.
Yeah, I know.
So all the great people plus Glenn.
Yes. And I'm on the edge, so you can kind of airbrush me out of this. So what was your inspiration, and tell me about why you did it?
Yeah, sure. Well, someone who was friends with Tim Ballard was talking with me one day about the organization, and I had never heard of it before. And as he explained it to me, you know, I had this image in my mind come where I saw this rescuer or line of rescuers, you know, carrying children walking down the tracks, you know, the Underground Railroad. And then on both sides of the tracks, you had the different abolitionists holding their lamps, you know, guiding the way. And I was just really taken by the idea, and I thought, you know, this could actually be a project that could help the cause to save children. And, you know, I always try to do paintings that I think are going to make a difference, but this one, I mean, to save a child, it was overwhelming. And so I just started painting it. And after I'd gotten so far, my friend who knew Tim Ballard, we contacted him, and then from there, Tim gave me a lot of his suggestions of who should be in the painting.
So we have just partnered with Tim Ballard. In case you're listening, you don't know who Tim Ballard is. We just partnered him with the Nazarene Fund. We've been a partner. We raised the original money to open up, you know, Operation Underground Railroad, Rescue Our Children. It is a worldwide effort to stop slavery. And he is now the CEO of the Nazarene Fund as well. And we are going to start going in a big way next year, rescuing slaves in the Middle East, these Christians that have just been left to die by the rest of the world, to live their life in slavery. And we're going to really double down and start rescuing them next year. It's quite an amazing thing that's going on. When you were picking the people, the modern day, or the, sorry, the earlier, the original abolitionists. How yes. did you, how did you decide who was in there?
Well, we just looked at the history of, you know, abolitionists in the past and people that had had interesting stories and, you know, talking with Tim, you know, he said, oh, you got to have this person. You got to have this person. And, you know, some of the names I recognized, a lot of them I didn't. You know, people like William Wilberforce, you know, I remember seeing the movie Amazing Grace. And, you know, his story. And,
right.
And but then there was people like, there's this woman named Harriet Jacobs that I had never heard of that had this remarkable story that, that Tim told me about. And I mean, I think they only learned about her in the last 6-7 years, you know. And so she's in the picture, and just a lot of different stories that I just didn't know about. And, you know, they have a ebook that comes with the painting where people can learn all the details about each person in the picture and why they're there. It's pretty amazing.
So you can buy it at ourpainting.org, ourpainting.org. How many of these are you selling, or how much are they?
They start at $29. And then they go up, you can get a nice framed one, and 100% of all the profits, everything is going to rescue children. And, you know, Tim told me it takes about $2,000 to rescue a child and to help rehabilitate them and go through that process. And so we're hoping that we can just sell a lot of these prints and to rescue, you know, thousands of children if we can.
Well, I know that you left Tony Robbins in disguise, because he goes on operations in disguise, and he thanks you. I wish you would have painted a beard or something on me to disguise me a little bit as well. It's
well,
a, it's an honor to have been thought of as part of that. And I tell Tim all the time, and he hates when I say this, I do believe that they're going to build statues of him someday because of the work that he's done. He is changing. He is the modern day abolitionist for sure. And I sure appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
Yeah, John, and we really appreciate not only your efforts to help stop slavery in the world, but also your efforts to make Glenn feel uncomfortable.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I do my best.
Yeah, well, thank you. You did a good job. John McNaughton, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You can see the painting and purchase the painting. It would be a good Christmas gift. You might want to frame it in a little bit. There's some shady characters on the outside of it. But ourpainting.org, ourpainting.org, all of the proceeds go to help rescue slaves all around the world, including the Middle East and the Nazarene Fund.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Have you heard the new movie review website called Rotten Apples? Not Rotten Tomatoes. This one is Rotten Apples. Rotten Tomatoes is the one that, you know, we convince each other to see a movie. Honey, it's got 92% of Rotten Tomatoes. Must be really good. I have no idea. Rotten Apples is not like that. Rotten Apples boils things down for the movie or TV show consumer. You type any title in, gives you an instant rating, either fresh apples or rotten apples. It's a website to address our current needs. It's very of the moment. You might say it's even hashtag me too, because that's what inspired it. Rotten Apples is a brand new website that tells you if anyone involved in a movie or a show has been accused of sexual misconduct, so you cannot watch it anymore. Notice I said accused of. It's not a criminal database. And no, I am not making this up. If you type in a movie, you just type in the movie title and, you know, no one's been accused of anything. The page just reads Fresh Apples. This movie has no affiliation with anyone with allegations of sexual misconduct against them. If you type in a show like House of Cards, however, then it says Rotten Apples, followed by the name of the person accused. If you click on the name, it links to an article from another media source about the allegations against that person. Are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party? The team of four, two males, two females, who created the site say it's not meant to incite boycotts or movies, you know, on movies, shows or anything like that, but to help people make ethical media consumption decisions. Oh, is that what it is? This site just launched on Tuesday. I don't even know what to think about it. It's so new. I don't even know what to think. It's another example of, you know, the internet keeping an industry honest. Like a travel restaurant review site. Is this helping keep predators at bay? Or is this a website of a one-way ticket to Libel Town, since it's all based on accusations? Regardless of what we finally decide this is, it's kind of a suspenseful game. Type in your favorite movies, your favorite shows, cross your fingers, hope your childhood isn't ruined by figuring out your hero is a total creep. The results are surprising or not. Let me just warn you in advance. Unless you want your head to blow off, don't type in Home Alone 2. Or under any circumstances, type in The Little Rascals. Trust me, just don't type them in.
It's Thursday, December 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Stu, how do you feel about the FBI texts? The ones that were released yesterday, how did you feel before you actually read all of the texts?
Well, I mean, I think there's a part of this that we can't overstate. I mean, the idea that there's someone in the FBI that is not a fan of Donald Trump just means, just like every other organization, there's somebody in every organization that is not a fan of Donald Trump.
Yeah, and if you're texting, you know, this guy's a buffoon or, you know, whatever, I mean, you have those people in your office. Those people exist. People are people.
And it would also be, by the way, completely wrong to launch an investigation on someone with only supporters, right? Like, I mean, you just don't want someone who is crazy activist level opposition.
Correct.
Someone who goes into it with an agenda.
You don't want somebody who says, I'm going to be the hero of the world and save the world from this guy. No, you have to trust the American people. The American people have spoken. Now, if this guy is truly dangerous, if he's doing something that needs to be exposed, yes, but if you just don't like him, whatever, you don't plot against the president. That's a coup, right?
Yes, you certainly do not do that.
So I am... You know, when I'm hearing about the people in the FBI don't like him, I'm cautious because I know that you have Clinton supporters. I just don't trust the DOJ. I think we have politicized the DOJ and the FBI to the point to where I know there are people that are looking the other way. When you find out that the guy who is writing texts who hates Donald Trump and loves Hillary Clinton is the guy who changed it from gross negligence to really sloppy or whatever he changed it to. And you know that that is changing it to from a legal term and distinction.
Extremely careless, I think.
Yeah. To extremely careless, which means nothing legally. Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
Right. And you got the texts are bad enough that you have to figure out what the hell they were trying to do there and what they were saying.
Okay.
But so, again, they did, when they found these texts, they did remove these people from association with the investigation.
Did they do it right away or were they
we don't know
to do
exactly
it?
When they were found.
So they did 375 texts they released to the press. There are 10,000 texts.
The overwhelming majority apparently have nothing to do with Trump. It's just that these are the Trump related exchanges.
Yeah. And so there's a couple of them that are really disturbing that I think we must have an independent counsel on. One, so look, you say we text on that phone when we talk about Hillary because it can't be traced. Wait, what? What? Why? Why?
And also, this is just a general thing. Like, if you're in the middle of plotting some real shady stuff when it comes to politics, you can't text someone that need to be untraced.
Hey,
that,
listen.
That's traceable.
Hey, listen. If we're going to talk about murder, call me on the secret phone.
It's not a good idea.
No, it doesn't work.
You're supposed to say that stuff on the secret phone.
Right. Yeah.
That's why you have a secret phone.
Exactly right. Okay. Exactly right. Okay, so that one sounds bad. Why are they using texts that, an app that will be unbreakable? Why are they encrypting their texts when they're talking about Hillary Clinton?
Right. It indicates that they didn't think it was going to be a problem, right?
Yes, I guess. Or
right.
They're stupid.
It could be that they're stupid, but I mean, you're in the FBI.
I mean, you know that people look at text messages.
There are stupid people everywhere.
And apparently there is a pushback from people inside the FBI that are like, wait a minute, we're people here.
Yeah, I know.
And we have to be able to have political opinions. We're human beings.
And that's why I rolled my eyes when this started, because they're like, and there were people that said they didn't like Donald Trump.
Right. Who cares? That? Honestly, who cares about that? Right. That's, of course, that's going to happen. It happens at every organization. Yeah. And the same thing goes for Hillary Clinton. You'd never be able to have an investigation of Hillary Clinton either if you eliminated everybody who didn't like her.
You cannot have... Well, there wouldn't be anybody left, but you cannot have an investigation of all supporters or all haters.
No.
You need both. You need both. And they both have to be reasonable and professional.
Yeah, investigations by all supporters happen from like Vladimir Putin when he gets investigated.
Right. So
everyone who investigates Vladimir Putin is a big time supporter. And
right.
They never find anything.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
And those who disagree suddenly find themselves dead. It's weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of what I'm trying to avoid here.
Yes.
So the, you know, there's text, congratulations on a woman being nominated for president. Well, there's texts of me saying, congratulations, America has nominated and elected a black president. I mean,
doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything
on that one, but it gets worse.
Here's the one that really bothers me. Quote, I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there's no way Trump gets elected. But I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's like an insurance policy. In the unlikely event, you die before you're 40, end quote. I mean, why don't you just also say, now's the time to go to our secret phone?
Right.
I mean, that is, what is that?
No, it's
what the hell is that?
That and that is the probably the most damning thing.
Really damning.
The secret phone's pretty bad too.
Well, they didn't say the secret phone.
We kind of did.
Yeah. You're right.
You know.
Yeah. But I think that this one, it's an insurance policy. In the likely event you die before you're 40, what was your insurance program? What was that policy?
Right.
What were you working on?
And that needs to be basically part of this investigation.
Sure does.
I mean, you know.
But I don't trust anyone in Washington to investigate. I really don't.
What do you do, though, then? I mean, if you don't trust anybody to do anything, then what do you do? I mean, you just let it all slide? I mean, if you can't trust anyone
to be involved.
I just want
a random selection of 100 people in America. And let them oversee the whole thing.
What are you talking about? Like a jury system?
Yeah, it's crazy,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
No, it's a crazy idea.
Somebody who's just not connected to any of this. Not, you know, you wouldn't put me on that.
I think, you have people who have been serving in the FBI and have been at high levels investigating for a long period of time. It's not odd that they would be involved in a big investigation like this. When you find out that maybe they have passions that you don't feel comfortable with, politically, then you pull them off the investigation. I mean, let's see what happens with this investigation first. What's the information that comes out? I mean, no one's going to be making points against these people if they find that Donald Trump didn't do anything with Russia, right? Then we'll have the other side saying, well, why did they kick that person off?
I have to I think there need to be three investigations. Need to be investigations on the Clinton-Obama years, investigations on Trump, and all doing with Russia, and then there needs to be investigations on the DOJ and the FBI. There need to be three of them. They should be going on at the same time.
What if every organization investigates every other organization simultaneously?
Or we could reduce the size of the government so it had such little power they couldn't affect our lives. Nah.
No, that's probably a terrible idea.
That would never work.
Can I bring up one personal point here related to this FBI story?
Yes.
It's really weird for me personally because the female lawyer in this story that was involved in all these anti-Trump texts, her name is Lisa Page.
Yeah, I noticed that. now, let me ask you, Stu Bregeer, which isn't your real name.
No.
It's Steve.
It is.
You have mysteriously been away from things like when there were suicide vests in Jerusalem.
That wasn't mysterious at all. I was home.
You seemed to know about it in advance and didn't attend. So you would have been the only one on the show that wasn't killed.
No one was killed on the show. And also, I watched the news, so I was aware there were suicide vests in Israel.
You strangely don't remember where you were on 9/10. You can't give me the...
I was with you on 9/10.
For part of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Notice you can't tell me what you were doing, get name, who you were with, or anything else on 9/10. Let's just go on. Mm-hmm. You also, strangely, are not from Canada, yet you love Canadian teams. We have known
that one
you.
Is odd, I will admit.
We know that you've been a spy for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now, Lisa Page?
Because Lisa Page, the attorney in this case with the anti-Trump texts, is the same name as my wife's air name. She's a radio host as well, but her name is Lisa Page. Mm-hmm. Lisa Page. So every time I turn on the news, there's these stories developing about how Lisa Page is under investigation by the FBI, and then Lisa Page is having all of these issues. It's very weird. Now, first of all, it's not a real name. Second of all, it's not even spelled the same way. But it is so freaking weird to turn on every news channel and hear your wife's name in the middle of a major news story constantly. It's a very strange phenomenon. And I'm surprised, by the way, and disappointed by the InfoWars of the world, who have not yet tied this show to the FBI, because, I mean, here we are. We're doing a show.
His wife is Lisa Page.
My wife is Lisa Page, that just happens to have the same name as the attorney in this story? How is that? I mean, this is easy material for the internet to take advantage of, and I'm surprised so far they haven't.
Now, how surprised is she that she hears her name?
It's very weird for her because she doesn't really care about politics at all.
Yeah.
You know, other than a passing interest when the big stories happen. So all of a sudden, people are texting her and being like, I heard your name. What's going on? Are you working in the... What is going on? Like, some people just think, you know, realize right away it's just...
No, I was wondering how weird it was for her because I'm sure she always thought it would be your name that would be in
totally.
The news.
I'm totally the one that should be getting investigated. It's so weird.
I want to tell you what is coming our way in the future. We'll do that next, and how it relates to the Hollywood scandal, the Washington scandal. We're entering a time where you're not going to be able to believe your eyes and ears. So then what do you count on? We all know that a great night's sleep makes for even a better day. That's why Casper has worked tirelessly, taking years of data, testing, and sleep science, and created their own innovative new mattress. It's the Wave mattress, and you'll get the best night's sleep. If you're sleeping on a Casper, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't slept on a Casper bed, try it out in your own home for 100 nights. Now, they have the Wave mattress, which has a patent-pending support system that mirrors your natural curvature for a deeper, more restorative sleep. If you're not getting... What is it, like type 2 D wave, sleep wave, something or other, mm-hmm. you're not restoring your body. So you need that deep, deep sleep. And like the original, the Wave is designed with breathable foam so you sleep cool year round. Do not take my word for it. I always say do your own homework. Here's how you do it. You try it in your own home for 100 nights, risk free. I tell you, this is the way to do it. I have bought beds where I liked them in the store. I get them home, and within a week, I'm like, I can't sleep on this bed. When I had Casper, I put it in, and when I first laid down on it, my first night's sleep, I said to my wife, I don't think I like this bed. 3 days into it, I don't think I like this bed. A week into it, I love this bed. I'm now, 3 months, 2 months into it? I love this bed. You'll have great night's sleep. Try it, risk-free. In-home delivery, setups, all free. Just go to Casper.com, use the promo code Beck. You'll save $50 on your purchase. It's Casper.com, promo code Beck. Minimum purchase is required. See site for details. Terms and conditions do apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
All right. I have a thesis here I would like to share with you, that we are entering a time, perhaps in the next year, I think we're at the threshold of this, and it's going to change everything. I have said to you, you have to have credibility. please do nothing. Get everything out of your life that is wrong and the mistakes that you've made. Own up to them. Clean out your own life and be a person of honor. Be a person above reproach. That is really, really, really hard to do. But it is absolutely vital because we are entering a time that everything is going to change. You will not be able to trust anything. Okay? We already don't trust the government. We don't trust the parties. We don't trust politicians. We're starting not to trust the police. We don't trust the judges. We don't trust the press. We don't trust anything. So what do you have left? Well, you have your eyes, your ears. I can trust my eyes. I can trust my ear, my earring. You know, I know I heard it. I know I heard it. I know I saw it. You're about to lose that in a spectacular way. First, let me start with, have you ever heard of the uncanny valley? Okay, this is really important. Anybody who's working with AI or robotics knows what the uncanny valley is. The uncanny valley is this this weird valley in a wave chart, if you will, that people like robots and have an immediate affinity to robots that don't look like anything like people. For instance, you like R2-D2 much more than C-3PO, and it's not just the personality, okay? Because one's more humanoid. And so when it's humanoid, you don't like it as much, okay? But the less humanoid it is, the more the automatic likability goes up. The more it tries to be like a human, there's this valley, the wave all of a sudden starts to plummet down. And you'll know this, and it's you see this in animation, you see this CGI, you see this in robotics. You're watching a robot and they're talking and they've got the facial expressions or whatever, but it's just not right. And what the uncanny valley does, it goes from likability to revulsion. And you have this feeling of uneasiness. And the closer it gets to being humanoid and still has those flaws, the more you're like, I don't like that. That's weird. Okay? Until it crosses over and becomes totally realistic. Once it becomes really realistic, the numbers go back up, okay? And you start to like it again. That uncanny valley has stopped us because there's something innate in us that says we can look at something and say, that's not right. And you don't like it. There's something that really pushes you saying, I don't like that. That's not right. Something's wrong with that. We're about to cross the uncanny valley and what it means to you next.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay. I want to show you what's coming and why you must work on repairing any flaws in your credibility. And do not play games with politics or anything else. And I want to explain to you where we're headed. We already are in a place where we don't trust anything, right? We don't trust anything. If somebody comes out and it's about a politician, we tend to dismiss it because there's a lot of power behind that. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people would make accusations. People are saying now, hey, we've got to believe the accusers. No, we have to listen to the accusers. And then we have to listen to the other side. And then we have to make a decision. Right now, we're not doing that. Somebody comes out and accuses. We believe it. And it's over. It's really dangerous. Who do you believe? Well, if there was videotape. Well, if there was audio. Let me give you a story. It's from Wired magazine. Turning a horse into a zebra is a nice stunt, but that's not all it is. It's a sign of the growing power of machine learning algorithms to rewrite reality. Now, zebrafication was a really big deal. Taking a horse, there's a video, you can find it, a horse in a field, and it's walking by a fence, and they run that and say, this is the original. Then they took this came out a few years ago, they came and they made it a zebra. And this algorithm could take that horse and make it look like a zebra. And there were little glitches here and there, but it was pretty close. And you were like, oh my gosh, look at this zebra. If you weren't looking for it, you may not spot it. Okay. Zebrafication. Tinkerers have used zebrafication tool to turn shots of black bears into believable photos of pandas, apples into oranges, cats into dogs. A Redditor editor has used a different machine learning algorithm to edit porn videos to feature the faces of celebrities. Now, this has just come out in the last couple of days. So now you can take a porn video. Just a regular person can take a porn video and now superimpose the faces of celebrities in those videos. Now, it's still pretty crude, but that's just on the market. You could do this. There's a new startup called Lyrebird. Machine learning experts are synthesizing convincing audio from 1-minute samples of a person's voice. Now, do you remember about a year ago, they were working on this, and it may have been Lyrebird, and they had people working, and they took audio of Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama. And it was pretty good. It had the tone down, but you could still tell it was a computer. And this team of scientists had put this together and put it out, and it was a story, and we reported on it. This is not the same story. This is now you can go to the website and do this to your own voice. Okay? I've just put in some lines into this, and they're crunching it now. It takes a while to crunch it and synthesize my voice. When it's been synthesized, we'll show it to you and play it for you and show you just with a minute of my voice how close they can get. I haven't heard it myself, but I know what it sounded like a year ago when a team of scientists did it. Now you can do it on an app. The engineers developing Adobe's artificial intelligence platform called Sensei are infusing machine learning into a variety of groundbreaking video, photo, and audio editing tools. These projects are wildly different in origin and intent, yet they have one thing in common. They are producing artificial scenes and sounds that look stunningly close to actual footage of the physical world. Unlike earlier experiments with AI-generated media, these look and sound real. A couple of days ago, I sent something to Stu to watch. It was it was two versions of a street. One was in the summer and one was in the winter.
Yeah, it looked like a dashboard cam, basically. Mm-hmm. Looking out your front window, what would it look like when you're driving down the street?
And if I didn't attach the information to it, Stu, and I said to you, tell me about these two pictures, what would you have said?
You would say that it looks like the same road, but they're driving down. One is driving down in the winter. One is driving down in the summer. And one was driving down at night and one was driving down during the day.
And if I really pushed you and said, what's is there something wrong with this video?
I don't think I would have noticed anything.
You would have noticed this. You would have noticed. You would have said, if I really notice, I didn't even notice it first, but it seems to be the same car.
Right. You might notice that the
traffic pattern is exactly the same.
Like the cars that driving in front of them are pulling out at the same time. You'd notice that eventually.
But you would not have noticed that the snow is fake, that the trees being bare are fake, that the entire winter scene and the entire night scene was fake.
It legitimately completely looks as if it's night or if it's in the winter, same exact street. And by the way, the advancement here is not only, because obviously you watch Star Wars is coming out tonight, right? There's not really a Death Star. I don't want to blow the movie.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
But this is not like hundreds of millions of dollars of production budget in post. This is real time
By something that's easily available.
Real time. This boom will have a dark side. Some AI-generated content will be used to deceive, kicking off fears of an avalanche of algorithmic fake news. Old debates about whether an image was doctored will give away new ones about the pedigree of all kinds of content, including text. You'll find yourself wondering, if you haven't yet, what role did humans play, if any, in the creation of that album, of that TV series, of that clickbait article? You, for me, at this point, there is enough video of me for the best of AI, I am told, to make a video of me doing and saying anything, and they will have the mannerisms down pat. You will be able to falsify video. Now, this is at the, you know, NSA style level, or the Google top of the food chain level, that they're able to do those things now. We're talking about being able to create them for pennies on the dollar, in apps, in real time. You won't be able to trust your eyes or your ears. Currently, the article goes on, there are two ways to produce audio or video that resembles the real world. First is to use cameras and microphones to record a moment in time, such as the original moon landing. The second is to leverage human talent, often at great expense, to commission a facsimile. So if the moon descent had to be was a hoax, a skilled film team would have had to carefully stage Neil Armstrong's lunar landing. However, machine learning algorithms now offer a third option. By letting anyone with a modicum of technical knowledge algorithmically remix existing content to regenerate new material. Now, here's why this is a problem. Is there any evidence that that happened? Well, I have this picture. Right now, they're doing this with Donald Trump. He says, I never met her. Well, here she is at Mar-a-Lago, right next to him and his wife, with a bunch of other people. Okay, so the excuse is, well, that was just a line. I don't remember all the people that I meet and take pictures of. Okay, I agree with that. However, if you could take that photo and you could make it so you see him with his hand down going behind her on her butt, if you could take that photo and show it from the other side, well, now you have something, right? And I mean, look at the photo. Look at the photo. It's right there. It's fake. Oh, yeah, right. It's fake.
No one would believe it.
No one would believe it. Now, you would say, well, they'll be able to tell. No, they won't. Russia, I told you this story about a year ago. Russia came out with a doctored photo of the moon landing. Do you remember this? It showed the astronaut in front of the Apollo, but on the Apollo 11, it had a Russian flag on the Apollo 11. It had a Russian name on the suit, a Russian flag on his shoulder, and he was planting the Russian flag on the moon. Now, anybody could Photoshop that. However, once you start to go in, you can do forensics on that and say, okay, this has been Photoshopped. Russia offered $1 million to anyone that could prove that that was a doctored photo. They have gotten the algorithms down so well that you can now not tell, even with forensics, that that is real or fake. Think of the ramifications of this. You will not be able to believe your ears. You will not be able to believe your eyes. We are going to have extraordinary discipline, extraordinary patience, extraordinary discernment. We are going to need to listen to the small, still voice to say, this is right, this is wrong, go here, go there.
Think about right now, if you were to lose access to your credit card, or you wanted to change, get a new credit card sent to a different address because you're on vacation, or you lost a password and you had to call up and interact with someone. Just the technology, when mastered, that you're talking about here, would be able to create a world in which you Glenn Beck calls up his credit card company and gives his social security number and gives all of his information and gets that credit card sent to wherever it needs to be. And it's not some other person fooling them. It's your voice, a recognizable voice, telling them that they should have access to your accounts.
So the next thing that you would say is, well, we have to see your face. Well, do you have the new iPhone 10?
Yeah.
Have you used the AI digitization of the face app of the,
yeah,
like the little bears and,
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, yeah, the little, I have not personally used that one, but I know it.
Okay,
but it has the face, it's all, you know, tied into that face ID and that
face ID. It measures, I don't even remember what it is, like, you know, 3,000 points on the face.
I want to say it was 30,000.
30,000 points on your face. And so it automatically makes you, it's like a puppet. It's a virtual puppet. And it's watching your face and expression. So if you move your eyebrows, it moves its eyebrows. It syncs with your voice. Mm-hmm. Now think of that not as a cute, funny little bear, but as a picture of someone else. You now have Donald Trump's face on as an app, and you now can speak, and it will digitize his face to move like your face. That's where we're at, guys. We're using it as a bear now, but very soon you'll be able to digitize any face and make it say things that it didn't say. You're not going to know the truth. We're going to lose all instinctive, I don't even know what you
just call it. It's the fabric, really, of how we make decisions, how we recognize.
It's the instinctive stuff, our eyes and our ears. I saw it myself.
Right.
We're losing that. And I think we're going to lose it in the next 18 to 24 months. When that happens, we better know what's true inside of ourselves. We better know who our spouses are. We better know who the people are that we're with. And they better know you. Because the world's about to change. Think how fast careers will be over.
That's true.
You release a tape of somebody.
Yeah, because people, especially at the beginning of it, right? People, yep. This is what happened when the internet, when social networks first started coming out. People were immediately, these companies would get complaints from 30 yep. people in the same yep. day. It was the first time they ever had anything like that. And then they would panic. Over time, maybe that pushes back a little bit. But I mean, it could be a lot more serious than that, too. People are reminding us of the documentary 24, in which season two, we almost went to war over an altered voice.
No, it's not.
And President Palmer, that was a close call.
All right, all right. I will tell you this. The logical conclusion is you no longer believe anything. Nothing matters anymore. Somebody could be shown on tape stabbing somebody to death, and you're like, I don't know if he did it or not. It doesn't matter anyway, because I'm never going to know. Holy cow. In 2017, we witnessed numerous natural disasters, an increasing threat from North Korea, alarming attacks, cyber attacks, financial data hacks, another terrorist attack in New York City. We are headed towards places that, quite honestly, Russia, if Putin has just said, whoever is the first to master AI will control the world. And I think he's right. And it will change everything. And it's chaos. Please, don't worry about any of this. Don't worry about if things break down. You're going to be okay if you're prepared. And you're prepared with knowledge. And you're prepared with the stuff that keeps your family going. My Patriot Supply is the group that I depend on. They have helped Americans prepare for emergencies for about 10 years now. My Patriot Supply can help you get started. Their 102-serving food kit, it's $99, ship-free right to your house. Call 1-800-271-63, or you can order online at preparewithglenn.com. Now, it's dependable emergency food storage for $99. That's breakfast, lunch, dinner. Last up to 25 years. Grab a couple of these. I know it's not sexy as Christmas, but the special is going on, and you should have this. Get yourself in order and prepare. So chaos, no matter what chaos comes your way, you can handle it. 1-800-271-63 or preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck.
So they have reached a deal on the final tax bill, and we're going to go over that coming up in just a minute. And I also have the list from feminists on the 10 questions that you should ask on a first date. You ask one of these questions of me, and I'm gone. I'm just putting the car, turning it around, and taking you back home.
Might be the goal.
Yeah, it might be. Next.
Glenn Beck.
Everyone likes to have great home-cooked meals, but who wants to go to the grocery store and find all the stupid ingredients that you're going to use like one time because you don't understand, you know, you're not going to be making this stuff all the time, right? That's one of the problems that Blue Apron solves, and it's one of the big ones for me because I don't know how to cook anything on my own, and I certainly don't know how to pick the best produce. I don't know where to find what aisle the right spices in. I don't know any of that. That's why I love Blue Apron, because they do all of that work for me. They send right to your home all the ingredients that you need, the best produce, the spices that you need in the exact amount that you need them, so you don't even have to worry about measuring it. And they have all sorts of flexible options, no matter how you eat. If you eat, I mean, if you're, they've got all sorts of different plans, and you can check them out, and you can substitute stuff and really customize the meals that you get, and they are delicious. Blue Apron is treating you to your first three meals, a $30 value with your first order when you visit blueapron.com/stew. $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/stew. A better way to cook.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
I will kill you. Don't think I can't. Those are the words that Harvey Weinstein reportedly said to Salma Hayek. I will kill you. And don't think I can't. The actress is the latest and one of the most high-profile women to share her frightening experience with Harvey Weinstein. In a shocking essay published by the New York Times, Hayek detailed her hellish encounters with the disgraced producer. She met Weinstein when she approached his company Miramax to help her finance and distribute her film Frida. He agreed, but his involvement came with a hefty price: her mental and physical well-being. She claims that Weinstein repeatedly stalked her and asked her for sexual favors. When she declined his advances in private, he made a demand for a sex scene in the film with her co-star, Ashley Judd, who had also been harassed by Weinstein. An emotionally battered Hayek begrudgingly agreed because the future of the film was at stake. Frida went on to win 2 Academy Awards, but Hayek clearly lost when she partnered with Weinstein. After reading her essay, it is clear he made the most important experience of her career a living hell. Salma Hayek will not be the last person to add to the mountain of allegations against Weinstein, but her account is noteworthy because it draws the line between Weinstein and the other men accused of sexual misconduct. This isn't sexual misconduct. This is rape. These are death threats. It is clear that Harvey Weinstein is in a league of his own.
It's Thursday, December 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
The House and the Senate Republicans have reached a deal on the final tax bill. Here's what we know. The highest earning Americans are going to get a lower tax rate. Corporations are going to pay slightly more than in previous plans under the deal the House and the Senate Republicans reached. Full details of what is likely to be a $1.4 trillion tax cut over a decade will be released this week. If the House and the Senate both pass the measure, the vote could come as early as next week. Donald Trump could sign it into law before Christmas, and it would go into effect in 2018. Here's what we have. The agreement would set the top individual tax rate at 37%. That's lower than the 39.6% and lower than the top rate in each of the bills that passed the House and the Senate.
Yeah, they keep saying that, but I mean, I had heard the top rate was 35% in all of these bills. There was a kind of a cutout for it was like one of those donut sort of hole taxes where there was a higher rate on very high earners. And they talked about that, but it would only apply to a certain amount of money.
Listen to the whole thing, because there's some things in here that may be what you're talking about. Republicans say they were considering that change to address concerns from high earning residents in high tax states like California and New York, who would take a hit because they would lose the ability to fully deduct state and local taxes as part of the overhaul. Rather than fully repeal the deduction as planned, the compromise would cap it at $10,000. So if you live in California, you can write off $10,000 of your state tax. The corporate rate would be 21%, which is higher than the 20% Republicans included in the House and Senate tax bills. The Senate had delayed the rate cut from today's 35% until 2019. This is going to take effect in 2018. Mr. Trump, who said he wanted a 15% corporate rate, then drew the red line at 20. And then he said, OK, well, we could go as high as 22. So they compromised at 21%. The agreement is also expected to eliminate the corporate alternative minimum tax. Keeping that as the Senate bill did, it would have undercut the value of many popular business tax breaks, including the research and development tax credit, which have been insane. Bill would retain the individual alternative minimum tax with exemptions for incomes up to $500,000 for individuals and $1 million for married couples, much higher than the current law. Republicans are also considering a 20% income deduction for so-called pass-through businesses. So this means if you own an S-Corp corporation or you have a partnership, you are currently paying
the corporate rate, right?
The highest rate, but this individual rate, but this will give you a 20% income deduction for you, which I think that's great.
That's about small businesses largely. Small businesses that have to pay super high taxes because they can't get to those deduction levels and those other corporate levels. They're going to pay the corporate tax level.
Yeah.
This will help them. The criticism on it is they think a lot of people who are wealthy will, instead of getting a salary, just create an S corp or an LLC, and then just be able to take that money under this lower rate. And there's things built into the bill to try to prevent that. But
I got news for you: really, really rich people are going to. That's what they pay attorneys for. They're going to try to keep as much money as possible.
That's not just really, really rich people. Everybody.
Right. I was going to say, and if you don't think that you would do that, if you had high taxes and somebody and it was worth their while to help people at the lower end of scale, escape all of the taxes, they would help you save taxes too, because there would be loopholes all over that as well. These are loopholes. People have the money for the attorneys, and so they find them. And the really rich people, like the Kennedys, they live on trusts. They're not affected by this. Who's affected by this? This is why I'm glad to see this rate for the S-Corps. Full disclosure, it would affect me. Is everything is coming through, my company of Mercury. That's everything goes into there. Well, I put a lot of my money into the company, a vast majority of my money into the company. I'm paying, a corporate income tax, pay myself. I would really like to be able to save some of my money. I'd like to be able to invest some of my own money and keep some of my own money. You have a right to do it, especially it's those who had nothing, had an idea, started as an entrepreneur, starting to make a go of it. And then what? You get penalized, while the people who are really rich, who have institutionalized money now, they don't pay anything. It's probably true that Warren Buffett pays, less than $100,000 a year in taxes, personal income, because he's not being paid in income.
Right. That's not how he makes his money.
Right. He's getting paid from, the capital gains or whatever, mm-hmm. which is a 15% tax. He's not being paid in income, and he's not being paid in income because he's found a way around it, so he doesn't pay a 39% tax.
It's interesting, too, to see the process that happens here, and it happens every single time with these bills. If you go back to the bill that Donald Trump proposed during the campaign, It wasn't the best of the candidates, I didn't think, but it was a pretty bold plan. It cut rates quite a bit.
That was good.
You know, it was good. It wasn't as good as some of the other plans that were proposed, but it was good.
Yeah.
And then the one he proposed as a presidential candidate was worse. The one that came through the House was worse than that. The one that came through the Senate was worse than that. And then this one is worse than the last Senate one. So we just keep getting worse and worse and worse. Again, is it an improvement over our current situation? I believe the answer to that is yes. The corporate side will help these companies hire more people, expand, take more risks. There is a legitimate advantage there. I think there is, look, going from 39.6 to 37 is an embarrassingly low goal for the Republicans. The fact that you can only reduce rates by 2.6% is pathetic to me. It's pathetic. I mean, Trump's, I think, initial plan was 25% for that rate. And some other rates were as low as 10 during the campaign. What do we get? 37? I mean, it's embarrassing. However, I'd rather pay 37 than 39.6. I'd rather rich people pay 37 than 39.6. I'd rather have that happen because it's their money. You know, we see the same construct built all the time by the left, which is, you know, look, if you are getting a tax cut to millionaires and billionaires, that means there's less money for others. There's less money for why are we cutting taxes for rich people? Because there's this pie and we're taking a piece of pie from poor people and we're giving it to rich people. It's the way it's always constructed, which has always been ridiculous. It's their money and you're just taking a little bit less of it. But why doesn't the same logic apply to when you're at a company and you get a raise? I assume no liberal has ever received a raise in our economy. Because why would you take more money? Instead, that money could go to someone at your company that makes less. Why would you ever accept a raise if you're a liberal? Because if you're making more than someone else, that's wrong. There's only a little bit of pie, and you're taking some of that pie from someone who could have had it. Some hourly worker could have had a little bit of a raise, and it would have meant much more to them. Why are you even accepting raises if you're a liberal? Because, of course, this is just a nonsensical political argument. Nobody believes this stuff. And, the idea that people who earn money should be able to keep that money because they earned it is a fundamental principle of the United States of America. It's why we've kicked everybody's ass for the last couple hundred years. And, you know, the fact that we can't go on and keep that principle standard and understood, not acting like we're burdening other people when people who make a decent amount of money get to keep a little bit more of it. Everybody should get a tax cut. And this plan does cut taxes for everyone. It's bigger than this plan. It's a larger fundamental principle that we've lost sight of.
May I be a little black rain cloud? Everything you said was true. Everything you said was true.
Uh-oh.
And correct. Except for I take exception to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where you started, that, you know, these companies are going to take and invest this money and grow their company. And,
yeah. Yeah. I saw you furrow your brow a little bit when I said that.
Because I have a different theory. May I share it?
No, you can't share it.
How?
And is that an option for me? Can I just say no?
You could, but I'm going to do it anyway. We've all heard about a market meltdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of a market melt-up?
I don't think so. Sounds delicious, though.
It does. A market melt-up is the way markets serious bubbles burst. They don't grow like it has over the last 8 years. They grow and grow and grow for about 8-9 years. And then something happens. When things unplug from reality, what happens is people start to pull their money out of the system. Okay. And you've heard this. I know you've read stories. Real money is starting to put, money on the, taking cash and putting it on the sidelines. Have cash, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've said that. Pull some cash out here and have cash. However, if you look at history, what happens right before a devastating crash, crash of 1929, the tulip crash, all of it. Okay. What happens is usually there is a buildup for, you know, just under 10 years and it gets crazy. And people are saying it could never go higher. Then people start to have a run. Now, think of this with Bitcoin. What's happened with Bitcoin? Bitcoin had some great growth between, you know, $30 and $1,000, and it had some great growth. And then some people were like, you know, I should get into Bitcoin. Then it went from $1,000 to $10,000, and more people were like, you know, I should get into Bitcoin. It got up to $17,000 and $18,000, and everybody was like, okay, this is crazy. I'm going to mortgage my house. Okay. Money starts pouring into it. When it comes to a stock market, what happens is things will go 22, 25. You're going to see a point to where we're going to have a melt up and the stock market will do not as dramatically, but the stock market will do what has happened with Bitcoin. It's going to go from 25 to 45 and it's going to be a wild ride because what's going to happen, and it's already starting, the central banks have so much money they've pulled off the side, big institutions, and now with a tax break, I believe this will, people will see it and they'll start throwing money. The central banks are going to start investing in the stock market and they're going to try to get their money. So they're going to invest in the stock market. All that money, those billions and billions, if not trillions of dollars, going to start flowing into the stock market, which is going to make that go up. Everybody who has saved money or has money on the sidelines is going to see that and they're going to say, I got to get in. By the time this really starts to take off, the average person is going to say, I'm going to mortgage my house because it's never going to end. And that's when it shuts off and destroys everything. I think in the next 2 years, you're going to see a stock market melt up and then a crash. Could be wrong. I hope I am. All right. Home buyers, if you are looking to buy a home, now is the time. Is Yellen increasing the Fed rate today or is that tomorrow? Supposed to go up, I think, another quarter point today. Interest rates are starting to rise. It is in your best interest right now as a home buyer to seek mortgage pre-approval and guidance before you make an offer on a home. Talk to somebody who is in your corner, who's not just trying to get rich themselves, but are looking for the right things for you. And with interest rates this low, especially if you haven't used your VA benefits and you're a veteran, now is the time to get a new home or refinance. Great way to get started is talking to the salary-based mortgage experts at American Financing. And with American Financing, you get a straightforward and effortless mortgage experience. Call them now. American Financing, 800-906-2440. 800-906-2440. That's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Who besides a Bond villain steals a submarine? An Argentinian submarine has been lost, missing, since November 15th. Apparently, some information has come out now that they had chased the submarine and then it went dark again and they can't find it. I mean, is there a real-life Bond villain that is stealing submarines? And that's frightening. Who steals one?
I mean, they could be either a Bond villain or Bond. There are really only two.
It could be Bond. It could be. Okay, don't panic.
It could be Bond.
It could be Bond.
He's a good guy, yeah. I think. That's a very strange story. I haven't lost a submarine in a while, so I can't relate
exactly.
The
last time I heard was in that documentary film, Hunt for Red October.
That's right. There was There was that one. Do you remember when you'd be able to look, when you'd be on a flight, like on American Airlines, and you'd reach to the back of the pouch because you were bored out of your mind and they wouldn't let you use any electronics? Yeah. And you pull out SkyMall magazine.
Yes.
And you'd flip through SkyMall magazine. And there's always something awesome in SkyMall magazine.
Yeah, but you never bought anything because it was in SkyMall magazine.
It didn't feel like you should buy it.
Yeah, right.
But they always had the personal submarine in there. That was always a big one. It was like $4,000 for a personal submarine, which strikes me as like $4,000 is not enough to spend to keep you underwater.
Alive. Yeah.
Right?
Keeping you underwater could probably be done cheaper.
Yeah.
But keeping you underwater alive? Yeah. It probably should be more than $4,000.
Yeah. If I'm buying a submarine, I kind of want to, it's one of those things I want to spend more on. You know, even if it only costs $2,000 for them to make, I want to spend $30 on it.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like...
You know what? This is a deal you can rip me off a little bit on.
You know?
It's like Gulfstreams, you know, or any airplane. Why are they so expensive? I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It stays at this one. Has this one been crashing a lot?
Right.
No. Good. Priced right.
If you go to a tag sale and they have $30,000 Gulfstream, it's probably not one you want to buy.
No,
it's probably going
It's like if you ever get the hovercraft or the flying cars, you know, if we can ever get to the point to where we have flying cars, like Uber says they're going to have flying taxis. I want you to spend a lot of money on that, Uber. I want you to spend a lot on that flying car.
Well, it's one of those, because this, I will say another example of this phenomenon is surgery. Like, there is a lot of places that offer surgery. Like, there's a lot of LASIK places that do this. They'll be like, hey, surgery on your eye, $29 an eye. Like,
it should be a package deal.
Right? Give me
get both the eyes. I mean, give me a price for both eyes. I'm going to be crazy. I'm going to have both of them done.
And like, I certainly no insult to any company that does this, but it makes me think every time of like, I don't know if I want a super deep discount on my eye surgery. Like, take your time. You know what? Let's block out a couple of appointments. You know what? Like, do you take your time and I'll pay for 12 eyes.
You know what?
But just do the two.
You should be on the golf course more. You really should.
You should.
Let me help you get there. Just don't screw up my eyes.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Intersectional feminist, Laura Witt. Now, I'm going to pretend that I don't know what an intersectional feminist is.
A feminist who stands and makes their stances inside of an intersection. They stand in the middle of a four-way road.
Huh. Pat, explain what an
intersectional...
No, an intersectional feminist.
Intersectional feminist is a feminist who has entered the sexual realm of feminism. I have no idea. Intersex, isn't that a person with both parts?
This is intersectional. Not intersexual. Intersectional.
Feminist. Okay, feminist. So that's a person who lives in the West, but their other feminist people that they talk to are in the East.
Okay.
And that,
all right, good. Good.
Intersectional.
Stu, help us out. Did
intersectional fem. Yes, there's a USA Today story all about it,
which everybody
the title
over as what they went out of their hotel room.
What is intersectional feminism? A look at the term you may be hearing a lot.
Okay.
All right. It says intersectional feminism is much more than the latest feminist buzzword. It's a decades-old term many feminists use to explain how the feminist movement can be more diverse and inclusive.
It's a decades-old term that we've all heard for the first time in the last week.
Apparently.
The last minute. Okay. Jeez. Okay, so she has come out now as somebody who wants to make sure that women, you know, are strong women that aren't going to, you know, date somebody who is an oppressor.
Yeah, and this, I think, explains this article as well. If feminism is advocating for women's rights and equality between the sexes, intersectional feminism is the understanding of how women's overlapping identities, including race, class, ethnicity, religion, and sexual orientation, impact the way they experience oppression and discrimination. So it's basically like feminism with social justice.
Okay, so here it is. She says, you should not be dating somebody who is not like you, okay? She says, quote, as a queer femme of color, I keep low.
I'm sorry. Are you saying that, or is the article saying that?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I could identify what it.
No, you, I'm asking. That's what I was asking.
Right. As a queer femme of color, I keep close relationships with people who go beyond allyship. They're true accomplices in the fight against white supremacy, queer phobia, and misogyny. And if you're not going to support the marginalized folks, then we can't be friends, let alone date.
Hmm.
The personal is political. So she says, there are questions that you need to ask before you get close to someone. Skip all the pesky small talk. She says, you need to ask these questions before you go out on a date.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Pat, you're going to go ahead, ask me out on a date.
Glenn, would you like to go out with me?
No.
Okay.
Stu.
You just rejected him?
Yeah.
Ask Why? Why did you reject him? Is it because he's
Look
a man?
Him. Look at him. Think I want to, I say I wanted to date a 50-year-old man? Never.
Plus, I'm not intersectional. So,
okay. Right. So anyway, okay. So here's the list. Do you believe, number one, do you mm-hmm. believe that Black lives matter?
Yes, I believe all lives matter.
What are your thoughts on gender and sexual orientation? How do you want to work to dismantle sexism and misogyny in your life?
I don't. I'm too lazy for what that.
You said the word work, so no.
What are your thoughts on sex work? Well, I'm first of all, it shouldn't be work.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm willing to put in an 8-hour day with you. I'm just
honestly, if you're on a date and someone asks you how do you feel about sex work, I would think that they're saying I'm a prostitute. Are you going to pay me for tonight?
Yes. That's how I'd read that.
Right. What are your thoughts on sex work? Are you a supporter of the BDS movement?
If I knew what the BDS movement was.
Irritated bowel syndrome. It's an ailment that affects thousands.
No, it's not. No, this is the tie you up and gag you and put a little red.
No,
ball
that you're thinking.
No, that's not.
No, you're thinking of BDSM.
Oh, okay. So I don't. BDS movement. Isn't that the deal about
the
Israel?
Boycott Israel
thing. Boycott Israel.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'm not with that.
What is your understanding of settler colonialism and indigenous rights? Can you imagine somebody asks you out for a date?
I know.
And you say, hang on just a second. I just want to know your understanding of settler colonialism and indigenous rights. I immediately say, you know what? I might even agree with you on those, but I'm no longer interested.
Invitation to dinner.
Wow, is it going to be a lot of work?
By the way, I'm fascinated by the sex work question here.
Yeah.
That we've had over the past week, mm-hmm. two hardcore left-wing sort of advocates tell us to ask questions of people that we come in contact with. One, if we're on a date, how do you feel about sex work? And then when you're at work, if you want to hug someone, you should first ask, may I use your body?
Mm-hmm.
What is happening here? Mm. These are not advisable questions to ask anyone.
Doesn't seem like a positive trend.
No.
Number seven, do you think capitalism is exploitive? Can any human be illegal?
Yes.
Do you support Muslim Americans and non-Muslim people from Islamic countries?
Yes.
Does your
wait? Do we support Muslim people?
Do you support Muslim Americans and mm-hmm. non-Muslim people from Islamic countries?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Like, of course.
Yeah. Of course.
I sort of support everybody that doesn't try to kill us.
Number 10. Does your allyship include disabled folks?
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
My answer to that is, I'm sorry. I just remembered. I don't date people who use the word allyship.
Yes. Where does that allyship? That's until I had seen
allyship,
that question.
Allyship. It's
your circle of friends.
Yeah. No, I'm for gay rights, and so I'm an oppressed people. So I need to look for the other marginalized people, and I'm an ally with all marginalized people.
But you can't be an ally with a white person who's a Christian. And has traditional standards.
No, they're not marginalized.
They're not marginalized. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, not at all.
Right.
Not at all.
You can't be inclusive of them.
No.
They must be silenced.
No, I know.
When you type in the word allyship into Google, the first thing you get is the definition from the Feminist Humanist Alliance. Which is...
the Feminist Humanist Alliance.
That's weird because...
You don't believe in God, right? Basically.
I don't know. I'm a member of the Intersectional Feminist Humanist Alliance.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you think the Feminist Humanist Alliance is not socially justice-related enough?
Haters. Okay. Their allyship doesn't
I know they don't go
everything.
Far enough. Yeah. They just don't.
No, they don't.
You guys been following the Blake Farenthold representative from Texas?
Yeah, he's got to step down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, he's one of the... He's one of the congressmen who used taxpayer money to pay off an accuser. $84,000. So it must have been, you know, somewhat serious. He is also accused of referring.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was the price of keeping it quiet.
Keeping it quiet, yes.
And you know that if you are accused of any kind of sexual impropriety, especially in Texas, you are not going to win an election. So all we know from that, he may be a dirtbag, but all we know from that is it was worth someone his right. job, his credibility, mm-hmm. was worth $80,000.
So settlement doesn't equal guilt is what you're trying to get across. That's true. It's certainly true. There were some pretty in-depth reporting.
But taxpayer money has to be treated differently.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree too. Yeah.
I agree.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't think if you're in public office,
there should be no taxpayer money.
You should not be paying.
Not a penny.
Not a penny to
settle a claim. And instead, they've done, how much were we told? $3 million?
Yeah, millions.
Now, here's the problem with that. If you don't give them some sort of protection, how's the average person, like average people, let me just answer this question. I was going to say, how can the average person afford to do that? Well, the average person goes to Congress and then uses all the loopholes to do insider trading, becomes a multimillionaire, and they mm-hmm. pay their own settlement.
Right.
That's how it happens.
That's why everybody in D.C. is rich.
That's right.
But his communications director, Michael Rucola, says that every time he didn't like something, he would call me an F-tard or an idiot.
I heard that.
He would slam his fist down in rage and explode in anger. He was flying off the handle on every little thing. And everybody in the office said the same thing. So Fahrenthold's response to this was that, I always call people F-tards, but it wasn't in anger. It was for fun. That is your excuse?
That's a great answer.
I admit to the frequent use of the word F-tard, but F-tard
shortened?
With love.
Is that shortened or is it
No, he said the actual.
Yeah, okay. So yes. He said the whole thing.
Yes, yeah, the F word plus tard.
There was a lengthy description. Wow. And again, these are all accusations and, you know, innocent until proven guilty at all of that.
Although he admitted
the F-tards thing, and he admitted several other parts of it. I guess they had a beer fridge that, like, around 4:30, the staff would just start cracking open beers, and it became like happy hour all the time,
like every day or Fridays.
That was the description of the article. That was kind of common. But the other
Not
thing they said,
alcohol in the world to keep me in Washington.
No kidding. They said some aides, when they would go out after work, would have to be put on redhead duty because apparently he had a thing for redheads. And so, like, whenever there was a redhead would come by, the aides would have to basically shield the redheads from him.
Oh, my gosh.
And so when he was asked about this, his answer was, a lot of people joked that I find redheads attractive, but it wasn't, there was no real redhead problem. Like, he acknowledged that this was a thing, the redhead duty was a thing, it wasn't really
strange. All these guys are dirtbags enough to do this, but they're not dirtbags enough to deny it. Because a lot of these guys are just saying, that's me. I need to look inside myself.
So it's going to happen. We're just going to start to accept all this stuff. It is.
We're going to accept the sexual harassment stuff?
Yeah, we're just going to start accepting because it's going to be everywhere, everything. It's going to go so far over the cliff. It's just going to eventually, you're not, and then false accusers are going to come out and it's going to be mixed up and jumbled up and you're just not going to know what's true anymore. And so people will be like, yep, I did that. That's just me. And as long as it's not Harvey Weinstein stuff, mm-hmm. you're just going to move on from it in the future. Not now, but in the future, I think.
How far off do you think that is? Because now it's
a year.
Because I don't think we're at the end of this.
No, yet. We're not. Did you see what Morgan Spurlock did?
Yes.
Spurlock said
he's the supersize me guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he used that as a line, but he may have. Mm-hmm. He said, "I'm part of the problem," and he admits to sexual misconduct. Now, there was nobody accusing him of anything,
at least that we know of.
Yeah, that we know of. There's nothing. He said he wasn't asking who will be next to be accused of sexual misconduct. He said, "When will they come for me?" I'm sure I'm not alone in this thought, but I can't blindly act as though I didn't somehow play a part in this. And if I'm going to truly represent myself as someone who's built a career on finding the truth, and it's time to me to be truthful as well, I am part of the problem. He recalled an incident in college where he had one night stand with a classmate. The classmate wrote about it in a short story accusing him of rape. He noted that there were never any charges or investigation. That's not what happened, I told her. It's not how I remembered it at all in my mind. We'd been drinking and went back to my room. We fooled around. She pushed me off. We laid there and we talked. We laughed some more, began fooling around again. We took off our clothes. She said she didn't want to have sex. We laid together. We talked, we kissed, we laughed, and then we started having sex.
You have to keep going with this part of the story because this is very strange to me.
Light bright, she said. What? Light bright, that kid's toy. That's all I can see and think about, she said. And then she started to cry. I didn't know what.
There may be a deeper issue here going on.
Wow.
Like, if that's still told the way it happened, that screams that she had some terrible incident in her past.
She said, I didn't. That's all I could see and think about. Then she started to cry. I didn't know what to do. We stopped having sex and I rolled beside her. I tried to comfort her to make her feel better. I thought she was doing okay. I thought she was feeling better. She believed she was raped. That's why I'm part of the problem.
But again, it's his telling, right? But it's an incident where she's willingly playing around with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
It goes to a point where she feels uncomfortable, so they stop.
And we've talked about this several times on Patents too, that the definition now of rape is completely different than it once was. You know, it's like you're forcing yourself on somebody, but now it's, are the two of you drunk? Is she drunk?
Mm-hmm.
Then that's rape.
Even if both of you are drunk, only the male is the rapist,
right,
and the female is the rapee.
Yes.
And this has happened and played out in colleges like crazy, to the point where in colleges, it's really kind of turned around.
Mm-hmm.
And now the system that had been built by almost exclusively left-wing administrations has turned around, and more due process is coming, I think, a little bit on that side. But it's the opposite in the rest of the world.
The problem really is here is that his allyship doesn't include illegals that think capitalism is exploitative.
Fair.
So
that's true.
Yeah.
If she would have found that out at the beginning of the date, there's no bedroom time.
And no bedroom time at all. Yeah. And that's what it should have been. So see how that works out.
Pat Gray Unleashed, coming up on the Blaze Radio and TV Network, where he'll describe his allyship in detail today, hopefully on the program.
I don't think he has any allies.
No. No?
If you've been thinking, I mean, besides us. Yeah, I think we can stop there. If you've been thinking about your home security, no better time than get it right now. SimpliSafe Home Security. It is the best protection, period. SimpliSafe. Put together a massive security arsenal for your home. It's special package, handpicked just for you. Entry sensors, motion sensors, glass break sensors. Everything you need to stop criminals from ever touching your home. I'm at the age, finally, my wife came to me and said, okay, so I know, you know, you don't want a present. I don't want a present. Let's just get ourselves this. And it was a functional item. And I was like, okay. I mean, I'm finally there. We're finally there. Mm-hmm. We're just like, yeah, let's just get that. We need that. And so let's just get that. And we'll call it our Christmas present.
Yeah, we had to get phones recently.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, we just got phones. Let's just, it was like 2 months ago. We're just like, we'll just call it our Christmas present.
Merry Christmas, I. Anyway, if you're at that point, SimpliSafe is giving you an incredible deal right now. $200 off your handpicked security package. Complete home protection. It is the best value in home security. No contracts, no commitments. You own it. And you get $200 off the special holiday security package. So go to SimpliSafeBeck.com. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com. It's the best security deal you will find. SimpliSafeBeck.com. Go there now.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Give me 10 minutes tonight. I'm going to show you why 2018 is going to be the world we'll never forget. Tonight, 5 o'clock, only on The Blaze TV, theblaze.com/TV. See you then.
Glenn Beck.